Welcome to TechniLead Podcast, where we provide discussion to motivate the individuals to help to put themselves first on their priority list. This is your host, Pamela Burkett-Jones, career strategist, coach, consultant, speaker, and professor. This show is sponsored by D&T Fitness in support of the D&T Foundation, founder David Tensley. The foundation supports individuals currently battling cancer, survivors, and their family. Among many other supportive projects, D&T provides college scholarships to high school graduating seniors. My guest today is Keith Sidnor. Welcome to the show, Keith.
Thank you for having me, Pamela.
Great, great. So a lot of people, can you tell the audience a little bit about yourself?
Oh, sure. First, I'm originally from Petersburg, Virginia. I moved to Laurel, Maryland in 2003 for my job. I was a federal probation officer for the District of Columbia Pretrial Service Agency. I spent 24 years in the United States Navy, 10 years active duty, and 14 years in the reserves. I was deployed three times as a reservist to Afghanistan, Kuwait, and during 9/11, I was deployed to Yorktown Naval Weapons Station for extra security with the military police unit. I'm a graduate of Virginia State University. Go Trojans, Trojan fans out there. Mm-hmm. So right now I'm a current council member on the Laurel City Council. I was elected in 2017 and I was reelected in 2019. And I'm current the council president until November. Then we would have a new election for the council president. So that's a little bit of my background. Anything else you want to know, just feel free to ask me.
Wow, Keith, that sounds like you had so far a busy, busy life, and you've done a lot of things, been a lot of places and seen a lot of things. And then, you know, you started in Petersburg, Virginia, and now you're in the DMV area, District of Columbia, Maryland, Virginia, for those who are not in this area. Now, you said you're involved in the community. And so I got a question. What made you decide to become heavily involved in the community after being in careers that were so demanding in law enforcement? What made you get into that?
Correct. Good question. I've always been active in the community everywhere I live. So growing up, I had a mentor, and I grew up in a mother, five sisters, and just me. My father wasn't involved in my life, so we had a lot of folks in the community that are invested in the children in the community. And so I just felt that everywhere I live, I need to get involved in the community, whether I'm volunteer or helping people run for campaign office or things of that nature. And so in 2017, when I saw the local elections coming up in Laurel, so I inquired about that. And I said, okay, it's time to take this thing to a little further. And that's what I did. I ran for office and I won on my first time up.
Okay, so now that's, you got to walk me through, because I know a lot of people, and include myself, we see people who are running for office, they get there, they win, but you don't know the process of how to run for office and what it takes and to complete to get your seat. So can you kind of walk us through what's that process like and how do you do it?
Yeah, when I saw the, when I said earlier, my earlier question, I saw that the office seat was open. I inquired what's the qualifications, and I was kind of shocked. I thought it was going to be a whole lot of stuff, but it was basic qualifications. I'm 21 years old, a resident of the ward that you're running for, a registered voter. And so once you met the qualifications, you got to get 30 signatures from people in your ward to petition you to nominate you to run for office. That was a difficult part there, because folks like, who are you? Why should I vote for you? And so what I tried to do is solicit my campaign platform from the community before me come up with a whole lot of ideas. So I go around, tell folks I'm not for office, but I'm working for you directly. So what are some things that you see need to be done in the community? That was kind of difficult, like I said earlier, because folks didn't really want to tell me, they want to know what I'm going to do. And so, I started just researching some stuff and they need to the area, and I came up with a platform and told folks I wanted to do. And just continue to knock on doors and show up at a community event. If something was going on in the city, I'll show up there and let them know who I am, introduce myself, and tell them what I'm doing. And it's a long process, though, but it's something that if you want to do it, you got to put the work in. And like I say, being a community organizer and working and volunteering in different organizations, so it was kind of things that I was used to doing, and it just worked out so far.
And then just thinking back those couple of years, what do you think was the key element? I know you said you showed up at the meetings, but what do you think was that pivotal point where you actually start gaining traction for your voters and your followers and to believe in that you can actually get into that seat and really do justice in the community?
Another good question. A lot of times when I was knocking on people's doors, they said they'd been living in the city for a long time. It's the first time somebody was knocking on their door asking for their vote. So I felt confident that here I am. Like, we just continue to knock on doors. Those are our whole campaign thing because a lot of folks need a lot of money sometimes, but sometimes just need a lot of lead work and people willing to listen to you. So when I felt that people was listening to us and it was coming to their doors, we felt real confident that we had a good chance of winning the race.
Wow. Now, for those that are listening that are not involved in the community and they, you know, don't like what's going on around them and they see and they can pretty much, you know, talk, but they're not taking action. How important is it for the individuals to really get involved to see changes? How important do you think it is?
You know, Greg, another good question. Sometimes in me, to be totally honest with you, I get discouraged sometimes with the current climate and stuff like that. But things are not going to change unless you get involved and challenge the system and believe in people and support people who have the same ideas you have and have some beliefs you have. And you just trust that individual, they're going to do the right thing. Local elections are the most powerful elections, I say, because, you know, they affect your daily life every day. How often your trash get picked up? How often your piles get picked up, the lighting is on your street, you know, your local school system, what kind of business coming to your community. All those things are decided by people who sit at your local municipal city hall and determine those things. So if you live in an area and you see these things happening or things are not happening and you don't vote, then you're part of the problem. That's how simply I can say it. You know, so you have to get involved. You want to affect change. You have to have a voice. And if you don't vote, then you, once again, you don't have a choice in the matter because you're allowing people to make decisions for you who you didn't even say no to or yes to.
Yeah, and I truly agree with you. It's detrimentally that you really get involved, that you vote. And I know you have a whole lot of care projects because I follow you and see that. Can you kind of talk about some of the things that you're involved in right now? To try to help with the local and nationwide decisions, just not in your community, but you work on level nationwide as well as getting people involved. So can you just talk about some of the things that you're actually doing right now?
Yes, sure can. The biggest thing in our area for nationwide is the census. You know, the census is deadline is September the 30th, 2020. And the census is important because it counts the people in the United States. It's mandatory that we count the people in the United States because of congressional representation. How many people live in your district determine how many seats you have in Congress in your district. Funding, all this stuff is federal funding, right? And so you get in the hospital, you don't have any hospitals in your area, or you know that money is needed to say we got X amount of people, we need a hospital in our area, we need more fire stations, we need more schools, we need our roads. So all those things are important. So I'm out in the community, especially in Prince George County, because the last 10 years we was undercounted. And we don't want to be undercounted this year because we're losing funding. It would be undercounted. And, you know, in Prince George County, Maryland, there's a lot of people. And we're a predominant African-American community. And so we need every dollar we possibly can to support our residents throughout the whole county, even though I'm a lower city resident. But the point is, we still live part of Prince George County. So we're teaming up to get our residents counted in our county and in our city. So that's very important. So I've been out in the community several times this month, pushing people, encouraging people to register for the census. Also voting. You know, we always say that this is the most important election every 4 years, but I believe this election is one of the most important elections because the president, you know, can nominate federal judges to the bench. And even though they got to be confirmed by the Senate, and so, but still, once again, voting, you know, in your state. You know, you vote for your state senators, United States senators, and you vote for your House representative members. So all these things are important because whoever the president appoint, the Senate and the House got to confirm those individuals. So you need to find out what's the track record of those individuals because the court system, people want to, voting suppression is a big issue in the United States of America. And so if we don't get the right people in the United States Congress, then we could lose our voting rights. The states could take more control of how we vote. And that's a story I can get all day talk about.
Well, so I've been pushing. We're definitely going to talk a little bit more about it. You know, I definitely, now let's, before we even get into that part of the conversation, and I've seen you actually working on getting people to register, because there's still a lot of people who are not registered to vote. And yes. What are you doing with that project? And what's the criteria for people who are not registered to become registered, and how would they go about doing it if they're not?
A good question as well. I've thought of the state of Maryland, because I live in the state of Maryland. In the state of Maryland, you can register at 16 years old to vote. But of course, you can't vote until you're 18. The process is to get the person registered and get them educated on the voting process. So the deadline to register to vote in the state of Maryland is October the 13th. So I've been out in the community as well, pushing people to register and vote. And as I said, this election right here, especially in our county, I speak for Prince George County, that the county executive is highly encouraged everyone to mail in by mail their ballots in. But you got to get an application first. You got to request an application from the county board of elections. And once you request that application, you fill the application out and return the application back to the county board of elections, you should be getting your ballot. The ballot should be coming out this week here in Prince George County, Maryland. And so that's mm-hmm. one way that we're telling folks to, you know, to mail in their ballots. Also, go to the polls. There's going to be 41 voting sites here in Prince George County. And the good thing about this year in Prince George County, Maryland, that you can vote at either poll, regardless what district you live in. So if you live in Lower Maryland and you got relatives who live in Upper Marlboro, and that's a voting precinct there, and you're in that area, you just go vote there, because voting polls can open at 7 a.m. and close at 8 p.m. So that's almost all day long, and we just out there continue the folks to register to vote and vote. Because once again, voting is how you get things changed.
We're going to take a break and come right back with my guest, Keith Sidnor. Hello, this is Pamela Burkhead Jones, career strategist, founder of Proactive Life Coaching and Consulting. In your professional life, are you repeatedly saying to yourself, there has to be more to life than what I'm experiencing now? There has to be a better way to reach my goals, aspirations, and desires. There is no way I can keep going down this road and maintain a level of satisfaction. This leads you to feeling stuck, overwhelmed, cloudy with uncertainty. I have a coaching program which will stir up your passion and develop a strategy to get you moving on to your next level. Contact me for further discussion. My email is contact@proactivelife.com. Visit me at my website at liveproactively.com. Or you can telephone me at 240-682-1343. Looking forward to hearing from you. Join the D&T Foundation virtual 5K walk, run, and bike ride in memory of Charles T. Coates. This is a virtual event and will go from October 17th to October 31st. It's a cool 3.2 miles. That's a 5K. You can even walk, run, or bike. All ages are welcome, and this can be done anywhere of your choosing. Registration includes a t-shirt and a finishing medal. All proceeds will be used to award high school graduating seniors and a cancer organization in honor of the D&T Foundation selected by David Tinsley, and also in honor of the late Charles T. Coates, who succumbed to cancer in 2016. Also, you can learn more about the virtual 5K walk, run, or bike. You can text the number 844-575-0072 and type in the word GIVE, that's G-I-V-E. Or you can visit the website, and that's spelled THEDNTFOUNDATIONINC. APLOS.org. That's the D&T Foundation, Inc. APLOS.org. Looking forward to you joining us on this great call. Thanks. Thanks for hanging in there. We're back with my guest, Keith Sidnor. Now, Keith, before we took our break, we were starting talking about voting. And I know we mentioned you talked about mainly your area, but if someone wants to know if they're in South Carolina, North Carolina, California, wherever, how would they go to just get the information, as you know, of their guidelines and how to register if they're not registered, what their rules are, and as far as their state? Which do you know, can you give them any resources that they can go to find out their deadlines and their important information?
Yes, ma'am. I can't give any deadlines or any other state, but I can tell you that the best source to go to is your state board of elections. So if you live in South Carolina, you go to South Carolina State Board of Elections, go to their website, and they'll direct you to everything, the deadlines to register to vote, the deadlines, any voting information you need for your state. Contact your state board of elections, regardless of what state you're living in the United States. They'll help you out as well. I just did that for my mother. My mother lives in Virginia, so she moved. And we changed our address online, Virginia State Board of Elections. So we it's a quick process. There's also a lot of independent websites out there as well, but I would recommend going to the state website first, and then they give you the most reliable information.
Good. Now, and before we took our break, we were talking about this election, and it's going to be very interesting. And every 4 years, everybody gets riled up about, important. But we all know it's important to vote each election, because you're deciding your different people, you decide even down to your sheriff and board of education members and everything else. So let's talk about what do we mail-in versus in-person for November 2020. And you talked about getting your application and, you got to have that that ballot to vote. And I know there's some people already voting. And there's long lines, and there's so what are your prediction for the in-person voting this year? Do you see a long lines and waiting? And what's your advice that you want to give to people that may pull up and see these lines?
Well, I'm just going to give you my personal opinion that mail-in ballots had never been a problem in the United States until this year. The United States Postal Service has been in effect since probably 17 something, and people have been getting mailed and not a problem. So I think that's another way to voter suppression is to discredit the post office. And with the COVID-19 coming, pandemic still here, our county executive in Prince George County is recommending we vote by mail because the county executive controls how many polling places open in that county. And due to most of our seniors working on the polling place, and we didn't want to put our seniors at risk because, pandemic. So she wasn't sure how many polling places was going to be open. So that's why the county executive was encouraging folks to vote by mail, because they didn't want people to get discouraged because of the long lines. But I'll say, early voting starts here in Maryland, October 26th, and go to November 2nd. And I'll just say, regardless how long the line is this year in 2020, we need to be there. We need to vote. And so if we got to wait in long lines this year, wait in long lines. But, if you don't want to wait in a long line, then you still have time to request a mail-in application. You got to request the application, and you get your ballot if you don't wait in line at all. But then you got early voting. Early voting, once again, I go back those dates, October 26th to November 2nd. Open at 7 a.m. and close at 8 p.m. in Prince George County, Maryland. So once again, each state has a different, how that early voting is going to take place. Like you mentioned earlier, Pamela, that some states are already voting, but I'll just speak on, once again, in the county that I live in, that we got to stand in line or you got to mail your ballot in. So you show up, do it, think about the individuals who made sacrifice for us to be in this position. And I'll just say this, if voting wasn't so important, then each state would be trying to change the way we vote. So just think about that, audience. If voting wasn't so important, why do so many states try to change the process of voting? And I'll say one more thing. In the state of Maryland, convicted felons. That's how I really, I'm a criminal justice person. So when the state of Maryland changed the voting rules, the convicted felons can now can vote. And I went out going around the community like convicted felons where they can vote in elections, because at first they had to pay their fines if you're on probation. But each state got different rules when it comes to convicted felons. But in the state of Maryland, if you're a convicted felon, you can register and you can vote in all elections, local, state, federal, all elections. So don't make that excuse that you got a felon, you can't vote. In the state of Maryland, you can't vote if you're a convicted felon. Launch you not accusing and voting fraud and things of that nature. But if, even right. though you're still on probation, that doesn't matter. You can vote. That law was changed by the Maryland General Assembly in 2016.
So Keith, for those people who want to really rally around to get folks out to vote, because I know I hear a lot of people say their vote does not count and they're not going to vote and all the other stuff that drama's up in the news and everything else, and it's getting them discouraged because they don't think that, you know. So what are some of the things that ways that you think that people can actually, you know, get people out and help people get to those polls?
Another good question. And I understand people are frustrated. History. I love history. So I said this earlier, but I think it's worth repeating. If voting wasn't important, then folks would not make laws and make it so difficult for you to vote, because they know if you vote in this process, your fundamental right as an American citizen is to vote. Then they allow you to vote with no issues. So when you got to come up with all these different obstacles to keep people from voting, that means they don't want you to vote, and that means they want things to stay the same. And so if you want things to stay the same, and then it's going to be that way. So you have to vote. I know that's probably a very simplistic answer, but that's all I can think of, because it's voting shouldn't be that difficult. You know, you shouldn't, regardless if you went to jail or not, you know, if you paid your dues and out, you should be able to vote. You know, I get really emotional about this thing, because it's, you know, serving in the military and, you know, fighting in wars, and you take the fundamental thing away from people. And I just to go back in history, though, even if you don't believe, just think about those ancestors who died for us, and the late John Lewis, who just passed this year. You know, he was beaten down on the bridge in Alabama, you know, just for, you know, challenging the system. So all those ancestors who made sacrifices for us to be in our position today, we wouldn't be here if they didn't vote and make those sacrifices for us. So that's our most fundamental. That's the way things have changed here. It's a democracy, you know, even though sometimes it's not, it appears to be that way, though. But when you participate in the voting process, things can change. And if you think things are difficult now, don't vote, and you'll see how things could be more difficult. I'll just leave it there.
Well, that's good stuff. I know I've seen people that you know, that doesn't really notice that it make a difference. Then I've seen people even back in the 2008 election where they weren't, you know, a lot of people did get registered to vote, and they see where their vote helped. And the same thing, if they just think back then and what they could do now, that it makes a big difference if you vote. Now, I want to, you know, before we get ready to wrap up the show, I want to ask you, I'll go back to people who want to get more involved in running for office for their community and they don't know where to start. Where would you direct them to start first? What advice would you give them?
Thank you. That's another good question. I would say when I did, once I got I saw that the election was coming up, I started going to city council meetings, started reading the city charter. Because the city charter is your rules on how your city is governed. You know, read the budget of the city, how much money the city accumulate each year. See how the city is spending that money, because when you want to run for office, and people might ask you some questions about those type of things, you know. So I recommend, once again, go to the city council meetings. You know, a lot of city council meetings are now on tape. So, you know, you can go back in archives of the city you're running for and go to their city clerk website and start looking at some of the minutes and the notes, and go to the city charter once again, read how your city is governor. And then just let folks know in the community that you're running for office, and start getting involved, because those are the individuals who got to vote for you. So if you're not letting folks know who you are and attending events, and they're not going to know who you are. And it can't wait till election day and say, here I am. But it's a process. usually I say maybe a year in advance, you know. I think we started doing it like 8 months before the election. But if you know you want to do it whenever your next election is up, some elections is very, it's different years all the time. The more prepared you are for it, the easier transition it will be when you start actually start campaigning, when you start research all the information and know your platform and things you want to talk about and the needs of the city. You know, definitely talk to the people and find out what their interests are and what are their complaints and compile those things together to come up with a platform that's going to that you can run on and folks can vote for you.
Good information. Good information. And I just love it. You know, when we first started that conversation in our show today, I love what you said that you, you know, and I would think, you know, and I'm sure a whole lot of people think that you just run for office and to run for different things. You got to have a degree in political science or have a law degree or something in a master's, something in the effect of have a big, a lot of history in politics and different things like that. But you don't have to do that. You can show up, you know, even if you don't even, you know, with a high school diploma or whatever, you can show up and you can actually really start getting involved in your community and run for office and actually win. And you don't need a whole lot of background in that arena to do so and just to get involved. And I just love the way that you just spelled it all out for the listeners that it doesn't, you know, it doesn't take, you know, a lot of, you know, a lot of things that, you know, you have to build yourself up to be. You can just be an active person in the community that wants to make a difference and show you can make a difference and just, you know, become that person that the community is looking for to help solve the problem or to get some of the things done that they need to have done. Now, before we end, I'd like to know if you have any events coming up where the listeners can support you or learn more about you, as far as giving them your social media or any email, anything that you want to give. So if they want to get in touch with you, so you may have some listeners that are in your area, you know, in PG County or in the Laurel area that want to get in touch with you. Can you leave us with telling us any events you have and then give us giving them information on how they can follow you?
Yeah, thank you. I just want to add something to that. Yeah, just be a well-balanced person as well and a person of integrity, someone that they can trust, you know. And my thing is, I say, I'm not going to make no decision that I can't sleep at night. So whatever decision I make is going to be for the best interest of the people, not for the best interest of Keith Sittenor, because I want to be able to sleep at night, and I believe in karma, you know. So, yeah, with that.
Good.
And also, you can reach me, you can follow me on Facebook, first name Keith, last name Sittenor. It's a public page, so, you know, you don't have to send a friend request, I guess. I don't know how that process, how the process works, but anyway, that's Facebook, Keith Sittenor, first name Keith, K-E-I-T-H. Last name Sittenor, S-Y-D-N-O-R. You can follow me on Instagram at Chief Keith. That's my Navy rank, C-H-I-E-F, Keith, K-E-I-T-H, 86. Things I'm working on, I'm helping a young lady in Tacoma Park. She's running for a city council. So I'll be helping her out. If you want to, you know, volunteer with us on that, you can reach me at my email address. First name Keith, K-E-I-T-H-R, last name Sittenor, S-Y-D-N-O-R, at gmail.com. If you want to, you know, help us out, we're going out on October, I think she told me the 24th, to get out to vote in her area. And also helping my close friends in D.C., Salim Adolfo, he's running for re-election for ANC commissioner. In this ward out there in Southeast Congress Heights. So we continue to work with individuals who's running for office because I think that's what it is. You know, someone's running, asking for my help if I have the time. So if you want to, you know, tag along and see how campaigning is going and getting out the vote, you can be boots on ground with us there. My senior citizens, Thanksgiving, I'm trying to raise, trying to get 120 turkeys. So we'll be doing some fundraising and probably, in the next couple of weeks, where we can try to get our senior citizens in one of my wards some turkeys for Thanksgiving. So those are some things that I'm working as upcoming things. And, you know, as a council member, we constantly, I'm very spontaneous. And so something in the community going on, and we just try to address that and just go out there and be a part of it. That's what's going on with me for the next couple of months.
Awesome, Keith. Awesome. I want to thank you. This has been a great show. You know, I want to thank the listeners for tuning in. Remember, we're here every Thursday at 7 p.m. If you can't catch it at 7 p.m., it's 24/7 thereafter, and you can catch it at any time. If you'd like to reach out to me, my website is liveproactively.com, or my Facebook is Proactive Life Coaching and Consultant, and I'm on Instagram at liveproactively. So that'll be our show for today. Thanks, Keith, for joining us. And I'm looking forward to this election year and you know, to see what the outcome's going to be. I appreciate you.
Thank you for inviting me for your show. I had a great time as well. Good luck to you as well.
All right.